So another one of my classmates died this last week. I belong to a group on Facebook of my high school graduating class, and there have been quite a number of classmates that have died for a variety of reasons. Many have died from cancer, automobile accidents, a couple have been murdered, drowning, electrocuted, all kinds of ways that they have died, and we just do not know when our time is going to come, that our life is going to be over. And I want us to consider this evening the days of our years. Our text is going to be from Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 10, beginning. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength and labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This is what I was talking about this morning, the work that we have to do. And it's just, I realize each day there is less time for me to do what I need to do and for all of us. These words were written by David nearly 3,000 years ago, yet they state a fact that is just as true and contain an exhortation just as much that we need today as when David wrote them. In these words, David teaches us something of the brevity of life and of the value of time. For everyone, the beginning of another day should be a time of sober meditation. You know, all of us are drawing closer to when we are going to be at a situation like this one in this slide. Each day, we have one less day to prepare for eternity. Each day, we stand one step closer to meeting our Maker. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Friends, that's an appointment that none of us are going to miss. We miss appointments from time to time or reschedule. We aren't going to reschedule this appointment. We aren't going to miss this appointment. Have you ever heard of a man or a woman that died suddenly, and then maybe at the funeral, some of their friends or family said it's something to the effect that it's just so sad. They didn't have time to prepare. They didn't know this was going to happen. They didn't have time to prepare. Friends, that is not a true statement. We all know, unless Christ comes back first, we all know we are going to die. We all know we must be preparing for that today. When we die, we can't say, "Oh, he didn't know he was going to die. He didn't have time to prepare." That's an excuse that so many people use for not living as they ought to live. And what is the purpose of our living? Our purpose of our living is to prepare for when we die. And that's another reason why as Christians, we should not be afraid of dying. We are not going to be able to make it to paradise to go to heaven unless we die. This body, we have to put off this body. We should look forward, not that we think about death, but we should look forward that we have done everything that we can do here. We walk humbly before God. We keep His commandments. And when our time comes, we can shed this body. We can be escorted by the angels into paradise to be in His presence. Friends, that's what we're preparing for. We shouldn't spend our time thinking about how much money we can accumulate, what we're going to do when we retire. We should be thinking about preparing for going home to be with their Father. How precious a thing then time should be. Yet so many of us waste our time preparing for things that are trivial compared to heaven and hell. We spend our time worrying about trivial things. And I'll admit, I do that too. And I keep trying not to, because there are things going on in the world and Satan tries to get us. But should we worry about something that is temporary and neglect being concerned about those things that are eternal? So we live in a world that is governed by time. It's interesting. You think of days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, millennium. We have all of these measurements for time. God himself is not restricted to time. God is timeless. He has no limitations with time. Isaiah describes it in Isaiah 57:15, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit." Our God isn't some man-made God, isn't some idol that's carved out of a piece of wood or out of a stone. Our God inhabits eternity. He's from everlasting to everlasting. But we live in this thing that we call time. And Solomon said, for everything there is a season and a time for everything under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:1. So there is this this thing we call time that controls our life. And we all recognize it. We recognize that principle when a farmer sows the seed in the spring and he expects a harvest in the fall. He knows that because of time. You have a job, you're a wage earner. There's a starting time and a quitting time. We understand time. Business transactions are carried out with due regard to time. Sometimes you write a contract and it's good for 30 days. You have to get an extension, it's bound by time. You have bills and installments, they're due at a certain time. We can't get away from time. If we're late, it's past due. Business documents, a lot of them must have a proper date. I could write any one of you a check for $1,000. I could sign it, and if I dated it for 1900, the year 1900, and you take it to the bank, what is today? April the 10th, 1900. It's not going to mean a thing, because we recognize time and the constraints of time, and when time is past, we can't go back in time to do something again. When someone breaks the law, and sometimes they are required to serve time. They serve time. What does that mean? That means they are deprived of their liberty for a portion of their life. And so our thoughts are turned toward today and tomorrow. And when we look at the words of David again, the days of our years are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet is their price but labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone, and we fly away. David in this tells us that our life is brief. You think about, I think about when I was a child and in elementary school, and when I would start in the fall and start thinking about the school year, it would just seem like forever. It seemed time was going so slow. You get to the summertime, it would go so fast. You go back to school, and it just went so slow. But then you start and you get older and you go through more of those years and more of those years, and you look back and it's just a blur. Time goes so fast. And when you get up middle age and beyond, and you try to slow down time, and you realize you can't do it, what do? We better wake up and prepare for God. We better wake up and serve God. When we think about the days of our years and the time of our days and the time that we have, every day that we have, how much of it do we give to God and how much of it do we spend on ourselves? You know, a lot of us, I don't know if this is going to be an accurate representation or not, because we want this piece of the pie, and we'll say God can get by with this bit. You know, I'm busy. I've got so many things to do. I've got responsibilities. I've got places to go. I've got people to see. I've got bills to pay. The list goes on and on and on. And what happens to our time? It goes away. And we can never get it back. We can never get it back. And what place does God want in our life? Number one. God wants to be number one. Does He just want to be number one on Sunday? No, He wants to be number one Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He wants to reign on our hearts. He wants this to be His throne. He wants this to direct what we do with our life. Am I accomplishing what He wants me to do in the time that He has given me? Are you accomplishing that? You think about people that have accomplished things in life, and I've heard it said before, you can accomplish whatever you set your mind to. That may not always be true, but I would say it's true more times than not. You can see people overcome odds, somebody that you would think would never be able to do this or that, but they set their mind on doing it, and they accomplished it. And what God has told us to do isn't that hard to do. And again, we should do it out of joy, out of pleasure, out of happiness. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. God doesn't tell us to do anything that is going to bring us down or make us unhappy. Everything He tells us is for our good. Everything He tells us to do is to prepare so that we can go home and be with Him and get out of this world, out of this world of sin and suffering and sickness, of evilness. Have you ever wondered where the time has gone? We live in a rushed world. Everything is flying by at supersonic speed, and we struggle to keep up with it, or sometimes at least to not get ran over. The world just goes faster and faster, faster and faster. You think about 75, and I believe that highway system in Dayton wasn't built until the 50s. And when I worked a year down in Cincinnati, somebody was down there was telling me how when 75 was started down there, it just went up to the GE plant, and they built that during the war, World War II, and that's as far as it went. And then connecting from the south and the north and coming together, and then it's like each year they expand it, it gets wider, wider. You travel on it now, and if you leave half a car's length between you, there's going to be three people trying to cut across because they're in a hurry to get somewhere. That's life. It just gets busier and busier, faster and faster. And what do? A lot of times when we're going so fast, the things that should get done just gets put on hold. I'm too busy. Sorry, I'm just too busy to read my Bible. I'm too busy to sit down and pray with you. I'm too busy to have that Bible study with you. I'm too busy to come to services. I've got things to do. Friends, every breath that we have is a gift from God. And Jim, I know when you've lost yours a couple of times and you didn't know if you were going to live or die, you probably appreciate that more than all of us. You have a heart attack and you don't know if that's it or not. The living gets put on hold and we've got to meet deadlines. I've got this emergency that comes up. We've got to juggle things. And then life speeds by. And then what place does God have? What place does God have? Friends, life is not about how busy we are. Life is not about what we have on our schedule. Life is not what we have on our calendar. Life is seeking to put God first. We are to seek His kingdom first, and all those other things will be added unto us. But again, we become anxious and we worry about those other things. David likened man's lifespan to grass, which groweth up in the morning, it flourisheth. It groweth up in the evening, is cut down and withereth. Psalm 90, 5 and 6. You see the grass coming back up. You see people starting to mow now. In a few months, it'll die back down. It's short-lived. It's real pretty. Real pretty when it's green and growing, but we know it's going to die. Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Job 7:6. If you've ever seen a weaving machine in operation and the figure of that shuttle going back and forth really fast, we understand what Job is talking about. He's talking about how rapid life and the days go by. The writer of the book of James gives us an illustration of the brevity of life and carrying out our plans. James 4, 13 through 15. Come now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain. Whereas ye do not know what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? For ye are a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. James 4, 13 through 15. Life is uncertain. James compared our life to an early morning vapor. The other morning, it was a beautiful morning with all the fog. And when I looked out our kitchen window and the lights outside, it was just so neat looking. Then a little bit later, it was all gone. You think about somebody in his 30s, 40s, appears to be at the peak of his physical and mental powers, full of life, and then you read about him dying. Something strikes him down, some disease, some accident, some tragedy, a heart attack, an automobile accident. And then the next thing, he's a lifeless corpse laying somewhere. James taught us that we should make our plans subject to the will of God. If the Lord will, we shall do this or that. Someone has well said, man proposes, God disposes. We propose to do something, but then God changes that. So God has a way of bringing our plans to naught. And that is why we should have plans. We should make plans of what we're going to do, but remember and pray to God, if it be thy will, or pray, you know, God, show me what you want me to do, or open doors, Lord, for me to do this or that. Instead of having our mind set on one thing, because when we have our mind set on this one thing right here, God may open a door over here and we miss it completely. Then we spend our life chasing, trying to get this over here, and we can't walk through the door that God opened. Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I believe this night is talking about when we die, we aren't going to be doing anything, but you think of it as in a physical day also. There is a time for us to do work. You think about Jesus. Jesus lived about 33 years on the earth, about 3.5 years of his ministry. And again, we know it was that time by the time recorded of when he would go to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, the three times that he went there. And you just stop and you think of how much he accomplished in those 3 years, 3.5 years. Well, somebody will say, well, yeah, but he was the Son of God. He was the Son of God, but he was in the flesh. He would work. He managed his time. He took time to be with people. Did he get tired? He got tired. He got tired. He would withdraw by himself to be by himself. He would withdraw to go to God in prayer. But you look at what he accomplished and how he did things. And friends, he is an example for us. And when I compare my life to Jesus as a man, he puts me to shame. We just waste so much time on things that don't matter, on things that are not important. The Apostle Paul taught us the value of time when he wrote in Ephesians 5:16, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So this redeeming the time, what does that mean? Redeem means to buy back. We buy up the opportunities. We buy up the opportunities. You think, look at it this way. Every day, God presents us with opportunities. We have opportunities. We can redeem the time by buying up, making the most of that opportunity as they come. And those opportunities are only going to come once. Once that opportunity is gone, we are never going to have the same opportunity again. I've met people before and had a conversation with them, and after I left, I was thinking, I wish I had also said this to them. I wish I had done this. I wish I had encouraged them with this. I wish I had told them they shouldn't be doing this. And I tell you, personally, one other thing, the older I get and the less time I have become less shy about being blunt with some people. And if they need to know something, I try to tell them, not in a mean way, but they need to know it. And I may never have the opportunity to tell them again. And whether or not they accept it is one thing, but I'll be judged too whether or not I tell them. Again, I don't want them to be lost, and I don't want to be lost either. So the limits of time require us to make choices. Who are we going to help? Where will we go? We can't be everywhere at once. We have choices of where we spend our time. We have choices of where we spend our time. Some will want to take advantage of all the opportunities to come to all the services that they can. Some will give God that little piece of time and keep that big piece of time for themselves. The only minute that we really have control over is the minute that we have right now. And when this minute is gone, when this hour is gone, it's gone forever. We're never going to get 5 to 6 o'clock, April 10th, 2022, back again. It's going to be gone. The opportunity to obey the gospel is not guaranteed tomorrow. It's not guaranteed next week. The only time we have is right now. The influence that we have. We need to think about how can we be influencing people. And again, like I was talking this morning, building up the church, we need to learn how to prepare ourselves. How can we learn that? Friends, there's example after example after example in the Bible. We read about the characters in the Bible and the things that they went through. But our relationships are based on time. And the relationship that we have with someone in the grocery store when we see him a couple times a week at the checkout counter, it's going to be different than the relationship that we have with our neighbor that we see all the time. But we need to be mindful with everybody that life is so short. It's brief. The days of our years. 1 Samuel 23. Then David took an oath again and said, "Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes." And he has said, "Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death." Now, we aren't going to be in a situation like David and Jonathan, but how many times have you seen somebody walking across the street staring at their cell phone? Or doing something else? Or you pull out and your mind is 1,000 miles away and a car just misses you. There's just a step between us and death. We might be talking with somebody and think the light changed and we step out and it may, that cross sign light may say walk, but the driver that's driving may not be paying attention. We're gone. There's just a step between us and death. 2 Samuel 14:14, "For we will surely die, become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away a life, but he devises means so that he has banished ones are not expelled from him." That cup of water poured out. I think of that illustration often. And sometimes it's poured out. Sometimes I'll be sitting in a chair and watching TV and reach over for my coffee and not grab it and the coffee spills out. That's life. It's gone. It's gone. Just like that. Wasn't expecting it. It's gone. Friends, that's our life. That's what God says our life is like. Psalm 39:4-6. "Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor." You see this tea kettle up here and the vapor, the mist, the steam coming out of it. And then it's gone. That's our life. That's our life. "Surely every man walks about like a shadow." You might see when you're in a car and going along and you see the shadow of your car. You're in a plane, you see the shadow and you take up, off, and that shadow's gone. That's our life. That's our life. Do we need to get worked up about everything that we get worked up about? No. We need to learn not to. Satan wants us to, because then we're going to get distracted from what we need to do. Luke 12:19-20, "And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" Friends, we can't count on tomorrow. And we need to put God first today. We need to have a proper sense of values, values on our time. We need to learn how to apportion our time, how to prioritize our time, how to put first things first with our time. And then that raises the question, how much time, how do we prioritize our time preparing for eternity? How much time do we spend doing that? Again, this is an appointment death that none of us are going to miss. How are you spending your time putting God first? How are you spending time sharing the gospel? How are you spending your time with those that you come into contact with? I've read this before, but I think it's fitting for this lesson too. This is called the procrastinating servant. It says, 14 years old. I've just become a Christian. I don't know enough, and I'm still too young to be involved in the work of the church. 16 years old. I just got my driver's license. I have to work to take care of my driving expenses. And of course, this is the time in my life that when I'm very busy with friends, and you wouldn't believe all the school activities I have, I'll get involved a little bit later. 18 years old. I just graduated from high school. Now I need a little time for myself before I enter the real world. I'll have more time for the work of the church later. 20 years old, I never knew college took so much time. When I get out on my own, I'll have time for church work then. 22 years old, boy, did you have any idea how hard it was to get started in the workplace? It takes all my energy to get my career online. And on top of that, I just got married. I have to spend time to mold my new family life too. In a couple of years, I'll be ready to really dig into the work of the church. 24 years old, children. I never believed my parents when they told me how much time and money it took to raise them. I sure don't have time for the work of the church now, but when my kids get older, I'll be able to do my share of the work then. 36 years old. It seems the older the kids get, the more they are involved in. Home from work, then to school functions, then sports. I'll be glad when the kids get older so I can really be involved in the work of the church. 46 years old. I've never had so much fun. Grandchildren. I should have had them first. I can't deprive them, but when they get older, I'll be able to really be involved in the church. 56 years old. I'm on my last push at work now. I've got to really bear down for a few years so I can be ready for retirement. And of course, we have our place at the lake we're fixing up. In a few years, we'll be able to quit the rat race and really get involved in the church. 66 years old. Retired at last. I've worked hard so many years, and now I can enjoy the fruit of my efforts. It's time now for the young ones here at church to carry on and let us veterans rest a little. Friends, so many people make excuse after excuse after excuse for not doing the Lord's work. The days of our years, we don't know how many days we're going to have. We should be busy putting God first, doing everything that we can. When we do everything that we can, how are we described? Are we described as worthy of salvation? Are we described as doing something great? When we do everything that we can do, we are described as an unprofitable servant. People have stopped talking about sin. Sin, it separates us from God. People talk about God's love and His grace and His mercy, and we should be thankful for that. But we've got to understand, when we have done everything, we are unprofitable servants. We deserve nothing except damnation in hell because we have sinned against God Almighty. We've got to put God first. We don't know when our last day will be. We've got to put God first, and we should be more mindful of the people that we are with and the time that we are with them. I want to close with a few words of a song, but we need to learn to get closer to God. We need to learn to get closer to our brothers and sisters. If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. Friends, you take that and you think about, what if this is the last church service that you will be at? What if it's the last one? Are we building that bond with each other, that brotherly love? Are we seeing to the needs of each other? Or are we so busy we don't have time for God? We don't have time for each other. All we have time for is me, 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 me. The days of our years. One of us may not be here at the end of this year. It may be you. It may be me. If we aren't prepared, I wish I had put God first in my life. But by the time we're at that cemetery, by the time we're laying in that casket, friend, it's too late. It's too late. Now is the time you need to prepare for God. Now is the time you need to obey Him. Not tomorrow, not some other time. Right now, tonight, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.